And today I want to talk about Father Abraham, because he's a good example. Amen? And it says this about Father Abraham in Genesis 13:2. It says, "Now Abram was extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold." Extremely rich. And in Genesis 24:35, it defines that even further. And it said, "The Lord had blessed my master mightily, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, and asses." And you know, we hear prosperity teachers will teach on these, and not they won't go much further than that. But there were certain things about Abraham why he prospered. And I'm going to go through just a few things here. And one of them was that Abraham tithed. And it says this in Genesis 14:18-20. And it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be by Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." So Abraham was a tither. That was number one. And if you look up Melchizedek in Hebrews 7, Melchizedek was a form of Christ. Actually, I suspect almost it was Jesus. But you would have to go in there, I don't know. But it was a form of Christ because Jesus came from that priesthood or was in that priesthood ranking. But then also it says in Genesis 12:2 that Abraham was to be a blessing. And it said this, "And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." What did Chris just say? He said, "On my heart is to give out what I have received." To give out what I have received. So there's two qualities. Tithing, I am now a blessing. I am giving out what I have received. Here's another thing about Abraham. He was a man of faith. In Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, verse 8, it says, "Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and went forth to a place where he was destined to receive an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go." Then it goes on talking again about Abraham by faith. He was put to the test about Isaac. And then he said in 19, "For he reasoned that God was able to raise Isaac up even from among the dead. Indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed, he did actually receive him back from the dead." So he's walking by faith. He's a man of faith. He's actually doing things by faith. Not looking at the circumstances as we heard Peter talk about, but by faith, actually stepping out and doing things. I think a lot of time people tithe mechanically, but there's no faith to it. They don't attach their faith to their tithe. And maybe next week I'll talk about that, how you attach your faith to your tithe, tie it to the spiritual, so there's something to the physical. Amen? I'll probably tell you that's something good to talk about next week. And Abraham was a man of wisdom. And I read this in some commentary about this, and this is interesting. And it talks about the gold and silver, and it says, "Gold and silver being rare among these peoples back in Abraham's times, Abraham's possession probably arose from the sale of produce or product in Egypt." That's how he obtained the gold and silver. And this is what it says about camels, because I read that he also had camels. And it says this about camels in a commentary. It says, "Appears that certain that, since camels was known for a long time before the patriarchs, that it was sporadically domesticated and thus gave an advantage to those who used it in trade. It said possession of camels would have given Abraham an advantage in trade which others did not have." So camels was like a special type of truck or car if we was to have that, but it gave him an advantage that others didn't have. Favor. God-given favor, and he had favor with man because he owned these things. That's what we're looking for, right? So Abraham tithed. He was blessed to be a blessing. He walked by faith, and he had wisdom in trade. Those are key components for prosperity. So, everybody have their tithe and offerings ready today? We'll go ahead and collect them. Because Tithing is one portion of it. That's a prerequisite. Tithing and giving offerings, but we need to be a blessing. We need to keep the kingdom first, as I talked about last week, keeping God's kingdom first. If you see a need out there and God, the Holy Spirit says, for instance, like in this church, if you see a need and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about it, go ahead and put forth, address that need. If you see a need outside of the church, go ahead and address that need. Whether it's financially or through a book or something that you've invested in, address that need. God's going to bless you so you can have more to bless other people, right? This is not, I was reading this morning, and I think Pastor Mitch read it about in Brother Copeland's book, prosperity is not about so I can be comfortable. That's just a side benefit of it. It's out there really to get the gospel out there. You know, to make sure that everyone's needs are met and to get the gospel out there. It's not so I can drive, you know, the best car or anything like that. Those are side benefits. But I think God wants to prosper this church in a mighty way, and we need to learn what it takes to prosper. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray over this. Lord, I just believe the wonderful testimonies that we heard this morning of what is happening, this is just the beginning. We are believing that all of us are going to be out of debt, that we're going to prosper to the point that we are going to be a blessing to this community, that we will touch people for Christ, for the kingdom, because we're going to put God's kingdom first. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just speak blessing upon everybody, and we thank you for the tithes and offerings that were given this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm pretty excited about this message today that I have, that the Holy Ghost gave me. You know, in Psalm 68:19, how many got your Bibles? Turn there with me in your Bibles, Psalm 68:19. I think about this from time to time, and I was thinking about it this week. It says this, in Psalm 68:19, it says this, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Ooh, how many have been daily loaded? Daily loaded. Daily. Not just a little bit, not just a little dab, but daily loaded with benefits. How many experience that, the daily loading of benefits? Amen. And I was like, Lord, you are so good. You are so good, Lord. You daily loaded us. You don't weekly. He doesn't do it once a week. He doesn't do it once a month or once a year, but he does it every day that he loads us. And he used the word load. I like that word load because I want a load of benefits. How about you? I want a load of benefits. So he daily loads us with benefits. And I was thinking about this and meditating on this, about the daily loads of benefits that God has given to me personally. And I was praying for the church and praying for y'all and thanking God for the daily benefits that he's loading upon your lives, but you got to be able to recognize it. You know, sometimes it's even just the benefit of going out and just enjoying simple things. You know, this morning I went out and I was watering my plants and watering my garden, and I was looking at all those plants and I was thinking, Lord, there's a mother load of peppers on these plants. And there's a mother load of tomatoes here coming on. And I'm like, wow, Lord, this is really good because you daily load us with good things every day. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to go as this is the, we're going to get down to the main course this morning. We're going to start with the main course here. Or 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to start in the first verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you just like that, how he addressed Timothy? He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, just because Mama and Grandma had it, he didn't get it by default. Did you hear me? He didn't get that by default. And then he goes on to say, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the gift that Paul is talking about that God has given us is this: a sound mind, power, and love. That's part of the gift. A sound mind, power, and love. Say that with me: a sound mind. I have a gift. Say that. I have a gift. God has given me a gift. He's given me a sound mind, power, and love. That's it. There's the gift that God has given. And I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, this is great. I've got a gift from you. And I've got this gift. And Paul said this, he said this, it was by the laying on his hands on Timothy. And then if you go back to Acts chapter 8, which I won't spend a whole lot of time there, but when they laid hands on him, what did they receive? The Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. So mark that down, they received the Holy Ghost. But he's telling Timothy here, who is it that has to stir up that gift? You do. You do. Say, I have to stir up that gift. And as I looked at this and I thought about it, it's like, okay, it's me that I have to stir up that gift. And I look at this and I say, okay, Lord, there's a difference here between a sound mind and an unsound mind. There's a difference. You gave me a gift of a sound mind. You didn't give me a mind filled with spaghetti that all these thoughts are just running everywhere and I can't make heads or tails of it. But you've given me a sound mind, Lord. You've given me a great mind because I have the mind of Christ. And I started stirring up myself by remembering what he's given me as a gift. He's given me the mind of Christ. And I kept looking at that and I kept getting myself stirred up over this. And I kept thinking, well, how many people have an unsound mind? And people say in here, well, maybe I don't have an unsound mind. I'm not in no institution. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking you can have an unsound mind and really not realize it and know what and not even know what a sound mind is really like. There's a difference between a sound mind and an unsound mind. And a sound mind thinks along the lines of the Word of God. Amen. An unsound mind thinks about what could possibly happen. What's the worst scenario that can happen? An unsound mind is a critical mind. An unsound mind is an unbelieving mind. An unsound mind is a mind full of doubt. And I'm starting to look at this. And he said, remember the gift that you got from God. Don't forget his benefits. He daily loads you with benefits. This is one of the gifts that he's given you, is a sound mind. Because when you start getting over into an unsound mind, you start activating the curse in your life and fear comes in. Start thinking, well, what am I going to do? I'll always be in this situation. I'll never have financial breakthrough. I'll never be healed of this disease. I will always have these bad relationships. That's an unsound mind. But now start stirring up your mind that God has given you. He has given you a sound mind. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power. I started stirring it up. And you know what? From time to time, I believe as believers, we have to stir this up in our lives. We have to stir the gift of God in our lives from time to time. This is something I must do on a basis that I need to do probably on a daily basis and stir up that gift in me. That God, you give me a sound mind. And I'll tell you what will give you an unsound mind, watching the news. I'm going to tell you what will give you an unsound mind, listening to what they say on the news all the time. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:20. Chris, I want you to come up here. You and Jessica, I want you both to come up here. And I want you to read Ephesians 3:20 to us all. You both come up here. You got that on your... Jess has got a new iPad. She can read this from her iPad. This is great. She's got the Bible on here.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Okay. Did you hear that? Now unto him, did you two hear that? Now unto him who is able to work exceedingly above everything that you can think or ask. And you heard their testimony this morning of what happened to them. Do you realize, come on, you both need to get excited about this. When God tells you something, this is God talking to you. Now you can get above even more than what you can ask or think. He can do even beyond what he did here just last week. He can do 10 times. He can do 20 times more than that. Now that's excitement.
Yes, it is.
That's exciting because God, that's him speaking and he's saying, look, I can do even more than that. I can do even exceedingly above what you can ask or think. And I don't know sometimes if we are expecting every day for those benefits to be loaded upon us. I don't know if we're looking for that. But they found it. They found it. And most of you in here found it also. They found it. They grabbed a hold of their faith in God and said, God, you're able to do this. You're able to do this. Now next week I want you to look and you can expect God for even more. And we're expecting God to do even more in our lives. Each one of us are expecting more, and I'm believing with you and I'm rejoicing with you when these things happen. Now unto... Read that again. Let's read that again. Come on. You need to get excited about this. Now unto him who, God, that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power, the gift that's inside of each one of us that's got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 5 to be filled with the Spirit and not be drunk with wine. This is exciting because the power, and that word power translates dunamis. It means miracle working power. It's the same power that he said when you wait in Jerusalem in the upper room, you'll receive. It's the same power in Acts 1:8. It's the same power in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's the miracle working power. It's the gift of God working on the inside of you. Now stir it up. I've got dunamis working on the inside of me. And it's God's miracle working power. It's the power to heal the sick. It's the power to change lives. It's the power to cause miracles to happen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power. That power works in me. I say, Lord, that power works in me. Say that. Lord, that power works in me. His miracle working power. It's his power that's working on in you. And you have to establish it and take it by faith. Come on. You know, when you don't stir these gifts up that God has given you, the sound mind, you know what happens? You start getting over into an area where the curse is in operation. 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 But when you get over there and you start thinking and you start looking at the gift that God has given you and you start saying, God, I've got the sound mind. I'm walking in the blessing. I'm walking in the blessing of God. I'm walking in the blessing of God when I have the sound mind. When there's no doubt and unbelief. And the doubt and unbelief, I'm going to tell you, bring in fear every time. I believe this. Go to Exodus chapter 9. In verse 4 it says, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. You know that word sever means to separate. And do you know what it says in 1 Peter 2:9? That God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has separated us out. He has separated us. Those people here in Exodus chapter 9 were living. The Egyptians were under the curse, and God separated the Jewish people, their cattle and everything, and put it out into the blessing area. And in 1 Peter 2:9, God says that He calls us out of darkness into His light. So He separates us out. But you can put yourself in behind that wall of separation by having an unsound mind and not stirring up the gift of God that's in you and walking in the curse. Preacher, I don't know if anything's going to change in my life. I don't know if I'm ever going to get the victory over this. That's doubt and unbelief. That's doubt and unbelief. God wants us to have victory. God wants us to have victory. But what do I have to do? I have to recognize the difference between having an obscure thought system to a sound mind. An obscure thought system. Are you calling me? Are you saying I should be in a mental institution? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we got to start taking the Word of God and start examining our thought system and that gift that God has placed in us compared to what that other system has been if things aren't going well. What do I have to do? Practically, I got to recognize the difference between having an obscure thought system to a sound mind. I must acknowledge that those gifts that God has given me are inside of me. I have to acknowledge that God has given me a sound mind. He's given me power, and He's given me love. See, it takes effort. It takes effort to defeat those things that come against you that are not according to the Word of God. It takes effort to stir up that. And this week I was running around and tell my wife, I said, Kathy, I said, come here. Come here, Kathy. I said, look at this. God has given you a sound mind. It's not that my wife didn't have, I'm just stirring her up. I said, God's given you a sound mind. And He's given you love, and He's given you power. That's the miracle working power He's given you. And I wanted, when I started doing that, I thought, I want to grab a hold of some of you in church. I thought about Mark, and I thought, Mark, I want to just grab a hold of you and shake you. Mark, you got a sound mind. You got a sound mind. You've got a great mind because you got the mind of Christ. You don't have to think defeat. You don't have to think lack anymore. And then I wanted to grab some of the others. And I said, Lord, let's get all stirred up on Sunday morning. I said, let's just stir everyone up. Holy Ghost, stir them all up. They got a sound mind. They've got power and they've got love. Chris, you got a sound mind, buddy. Hallelujah. You got the mind of Christ. Jessica, you got the mind of Christ. It's the gift that God has given us. I don't have to have a mind full of spaghetti that doesn't know what, that doesn't know up from down and left from right. Come on. Come Come on, you got a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm like, Lord, this is a great gift. This is a great gift that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for this gift of a sound mind and power. I know I can't do anything on my own, but with you all things are possible. With you all things are possible. God, these situations that people face, they don't have to live in those situations anymore. They can change and live on the good side of John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Stir up the gifts so you realize you can live in that abundant life. Stir up the gift of God in you. Come on, stir it up. You know how to do it. We've been over this before. You know how to do it. Go back and remember. I'm telling you to remember the gift that God has placed in you. And it's a good gift. Oh, it's a valuable gift. We get excited when we get those debts forgiven in the mail, but I'm going to tell you something. We got something even more that we need to get excited about. It's the gift of God that's on the inside of us.
Right.
Hallelujah. Because it's that gift. It's that power. It's that love. And it's the sound mind that can overcome. And then if you go back and you look at that there in Timothy, he got another gift, and I saw another gift, that unfeigned or that sincere faith was given to him also. He said that sincere faith that was in mom and grandma. He said, I'm convinced it's in you also, and I'm convinced, just stir it up. Stir it up. It's in you and you. Stir it up. Now that's exciting. Don't ever doubt that you don't have faith. You can live by His faith. The Bible says that in Galatians 2:20 and 21, that we live by His faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Now, does anyone need any more stirring today? You need any more stirring up today? Come on, just don't let things keep going on and on and on, the same old, same old. We sang that song from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. And God, and I see it, He's moving y'all up higher. He's moving y'all up higher to a greater place. Don't ever think that my family situation won't change. Don't ever think that for one moment. Because the gift won't let you do that. It won't let you tell you that you're going to have this for the rest of your life. The gift won't let you do that. You know, this is just like getting a new tool. Almost. Not quite. And I look at it and I say, you know, I can do this and I can do that. But when you get a revelation of the gift that's on the inside of you, there's more than just debt cancellation. This is a burden-destroying, yoke-removing power. It'll destroy the burden of lack. Because you know what lack brings with it? Worry. Fear. That's what it brings. What am I going to do? So this week, I'll tell you what to do. Start stirring up. God, I remember the gift that you gave me. I remember the gift that you gave me, Lord. It's the power to overcome. It's the power to have success and to have victory. And that's what you want. Now, how many in here this morning want hands laid on them? For the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You want hands laid on you. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want that gift stirred up. I see that hand. Who else wants it? I see.
I see. Anyone else? If you raise your hand, come on up here. Luke made a very good point this morning about the business. Stir it up. If you got a business, stir it up. Stir up the gift in you. Matt, I need you up here. Mark, I need you up here. Mike, I need you up here. Stir it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Raise your hands. The gift is in me. The gift is in me. Hallelujah. A sound mind.
Sound mind.
Love and power.
Love and power.
Come on. Is anyone else? There's someone else in here that needs victory. You need victory. And you come on up here, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. I'm going to release my faith in the name of Jesus. If you need victory, if you need to overcome, come on. Now is your opportunity. The Holy Ghost is moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the gift. For the gift, Father, that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, depression is not your friend. Okay? Depression is not your comforter. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. Now, it's time to start hanging out with Him and not hanging out with depression. Because all depression does, it just causes you to just lock up and go into a shell and act like a turtle. Okay? Now, that's all that does. Now, if there's a cloud of depression hanging over you, I want you to come up here because God wants to break that right now. I hear that in my spirit. God wants to fill you with His Spirit, not with a spirit of depression.
Amen. And don't you dare be ashamed of it. Because you know what? We've all had that come against us. We've all had that come against us. I've had it come against me. But you know what? There's so much more joy than hanging on to that and allowing it to give place in your life. Amen.
There is an anointing. There is a power up here to break that right now. Come on, if you've had and been suffering with that, come up here now. It's time to come up here now.
That's right, because you won't be judged. You won't. Nobody will say anything.
Today, things have changed. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of God. Thank you for the gift of a sound mind, of power and love. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of salvation, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.